If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 1, I have come to love, maybe beyond words, Romans chapter 1, 14 through 16. I've always appreciated, but I started, I don't know, many years ago, I started with one sermon on this, and I ended up preaching 11 different sermons out of it. Because I took that basic idea of I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ and built off of it. The text says, I am debtor both to the Greek and the barbarian, to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And I've often wondered sometimes, why is it that Paul felt such a sense of indebtedness to all of mankind? Look at what he's talking about. I'm debtor to the Greek and the barbarian, to the wise and the unwise. You know, when you stop and think about that, that pretty much is all-encompassing of all humanity. Let me give you just a couple of reasons that I think that Paul felt this great sense of indebtedness. Number one, I think he felt a great sense of indebtedness because of his past hatred for Christians in Christianity. So much so that in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, he ascribed to himself as being what? The chief among sinners. He saw himself as that. And you know, it would be hard for us to argue against it. But you know, also we look at Acts chapter 7 and verses 70 through 8, chapter 8 and verse 1. It says there that Saul aided in the stoning to death of Stephen. Listen, consenting to his death. No, he didn't actually pick up the stones. He didn't actually cast them and kill him, but he was there holding the garments of those who were killing so that the garments would not become blood spattered. And he consented to Stephen's death. Skip a verse and go to Acts chapter 8 and verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house, dragging off men and women, listen, committing them to prison. Now, I emphasize this one word, havoc. He made havoc of the church. That word havoc carries with the idea of devastation, destruction. To ravage something, completely destroy it. And it's true whether you're looking at the Koine Greek language or the English language. Still have basically the same idea. He made havoc of the church. Acts chapter 9 verse 1 says, then Saul still breathing out threatening and slaughter, that's the King James rendering there, against the disciples of the Lord. Well, we don't have to talk about a definition for slaughter, do we? We all pretty much get that idea. Look at Acts 22, verses 3 through 4. We see Paul's zeal for God. And listen, how he persecuted the way. That's talking about Christianity. To the death, the text tells us. Again, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. Paul even went to the point in Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, Galatians 1 verse 13, admitting I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. The King James, I think, uses the term wasted it. Folks, Paul felt this great sense of indebtedness because he had been such a detriment to the church and to Christians. But I'm going to suggest to you there's another reason, or at least kind of couch it in with two in one. Paul felt a sense of indebtedness because of God's mercy and grace that was bestowed upon Paul. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 13. Here Paul would write to Timothy and say, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has, listen, enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. Now listen, here's the key. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. But let's back up and look at something here. He talks about himself as being a blasphemer, somebody who was speaking against God. He talks about himself as being a persecutor, one who would persecute Christians. We've already talked about those things. And yet he also adds to it, I was an insolent man. That word insolent means contemptuous. He showed contempt for our Lord. He showed contempt for the church. And all this time he really believed that he was doing that which was right. He once said, in all good conscience I've lived before men. Which tells us sometimes, folks, our conscience can be trained wrong. Conscience isn't all there is to it. We have to be right. Paul wrote this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 9 and 10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. What's a powerful thing that he just said there. What was Paul by this point in time? He was a Christian. That came first. He obeyed the gospel, Acts 22 and verse 16. Remember what Ananias told him? Why tarriest thou, Paul? Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, and call on the name of the Lord. Baptism washes away sins. So he became a Christian. He became a preacher of the gospel. He became the most prolific writer of the New Testament. And he was an apostle who was born at a due time. What a powerful thing. And he recorded that by saying, affirms that by saying, this was a grace bestowed upon me by God. And boy, did he have to pay for it, sometimes in persecution himself. But I want us to notice one last thing here before we kind of close up our thoughts. Yes, he said, I'm debtor both to Greek and barbarian, to wise and unwise. But he also said, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also. You know, when I read that, I cannot help but read what at least I can envision in my mind, the kind of passion that Paul must have had when he penned those words. In other words, I think what Paul was saying, with every ounce of my being, I'm ready to preach the gospel. Why? Because you see the answer there in verse 16. It's the power of God that leads to salvation. If you didn't have the gospel, we would all be lost right now. I think what he was saying when he said, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also, is the idea that every strand of fiber within me, I am ready to preach the good news that Jesus Christ came into this world, lived among men, died on the cross, and went to that grave, but was raised and is now sitting at the right hand of God in heaven. He says, I'm ready to preach that. Why? Again, verse 16 answers it. Because the gospel contained within that gospel is the power of God unto salvation. In fact, verse 17 adds, for in it, talking about the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed to man. Paul was saying, I will pour out myself for you. I'll deplete myself for you. I'll give everything that I've got to get the gospel message out. I wonder sometimes if we have that same kind of enthusiasm within us. Do we want to preach and teach the gospel? Paul charged others to do what he preached and practiced. How do I know that? 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 6. And I always liked the way the New King James rendered that one part. I think it's in 5, or I better look at that and make sure. I think it's in verse 5, but I'll double check. Where he says, I'm already being poured out. I think that is about as accurate as you're going to get on that. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. And he could honestly say at this point in verse 7 that I have fought the good fight, I've finished the course, and I've kept the faith. And because of that, he says, there is something waiting for me, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me in that day. And listen to what he says, not to me only, but to you also. Folks, when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is truly the power, that word power comes from the Greek word dunamos. We literally get our word dynamite from that. We have that power to be saved. we can live as God would have us to live, and we can say the same thing that Paul said there. I fought the good fight, finished the course, kept the faith, and henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. What a marvelous thing that we have. What a great promise that we have. So we ask the simple question this evening. If you are not a child of God, as the Bible defines what a Christian is, that is one who has heard the preaching of the gospel message. One who has believed, has put their faith and trust and believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. One who is ready to repent of their sins. That means turn away from sin. I've always liked to describe it like this. You're going the wrong way on a highway. You make a U-turn and go the correct way. That's what repentance is, a complete turnaround in our lives. And if you're ready to confess that Jesus is in fact the Christ, the Son of God, you're ready to be baptized. You're ready to have your sins washed away. You're ready to have those sins remitted, forgiven. And it's so simple, so easy. But we ask that simple question. Do you know what you need to do to be saved? Maybe it is the case that you don't yet. Maybe it is the case that you're searching, what must I do to be saved? What can I do to be in a right relationship with God? We stand ready to assist you and help you in any way that we possibly can. We have men here who will be happy to sit down and study with you. Maybe it is the case that you are a child of God. You've already been obedient in baptism. You've had your sins remitted. You've had them taken away. But maybe your faith is not what it should have been. Maybe you've been weak. Maybe you've not been living as God would have you live. And you need the prayers of a church. You need the prayers of brothers and sisters in Christ who love you and care about you. Who don't stand in judgment. Because we know that one of these days it might be us that needs to come forward and ask for the prayers of a congregation. But you need to ask for the forgiveness of God. We stand ready to assist you on that as well. Whatever your need may be, if we can help out, won't you come right now as we stand and sing this song?